There's an interesting, a lovely, beautiful story that's told that occurred with the fifth Chabad Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, Reb Shalom Ber Shneirs. This occurred in the year. This occurred in the year Tofreish Memches, which means 1897. In the city of Lubavitch, where he lived in Russia, in White Russia, it was before the New Year's. There were a lot of simple Jews, a lot of Jews who worked in the marketplace and were engaged in very simple tasks. And by nature, they were not sophisticated. They were not learned people. They were not cerebral, very refined or aristocratic or scholarly human beings. They were extremely simple, many of them extremely unlearned, but pious and God-fearing. And the Rebbe Rashab, who himself was a giant of giants, even in scholarship itself, had a very close relationship with them. And that particular Simchas Torah, he danced for a long time with these simple folk in shul. A little while later, one of his greatest Hasidim, who was a great Torah scholar, and also an extraordinary merchant of diamonds, a very wealthy man, a charitable person. His name was Reb Monya Mozenson. His full name was Menachem Manis Mozenson. They called him Reb Monya Mozenson. He went in for a private audience to the Rebbe. During the audience, the Rebbe Rashab began venerating and extolling the great virtues of these simple Jews that live in Lubavitch. So Reb Monya turns to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, was macht ihr von seinen Indien? It's like he say, was macht ihr von seinen Zimmers? You know, what do you see in them? Why are you extolling them so greatly? What do you see in them? They're simple people. He says, I can't even have a conversation with them. I'm totally on another caliber. And he wasn't an arrogant human being, but he felt that they were totally on another level. So the Rebbe told him, he says, Chzein zei meir de kamailas. I see in them extraordinary, unbelievable virtues. So he says, Rebbe, ich zanisht. I don't see them. And with that, the conversation ended. He was disappointed because he didn't get a good answer. He said, the Rebbe says, I see and I don't see. A little while later, the Rebbe said, maybe, did you bring this time when you came for a visit, did you bring some diamonds? So he says, yeah, he actually brought diamonds. And he took out the diamonds and he displayed them on the table. He said, Rebbe, this year particularly, I bought for 20 or 30,000 ruble on a unique, a gewaldica, on a brilliant diamond. But then he takes a look, he says, the sun is shining now too bright, you won't be able to appreciate it, we'll do it later. So later, when he felt that the lighting in the room was suitable, it was conducive for an examination of the diamonds, he displays them again on the desk and he calls the Rebbe out. And he points to one diamond and he says, Rebbe, this diamond is pile ployim. I don't know how to translate it. This diamond is wonder of wonders. It's heaven of heavens. It's the gewald of gewalds. It's brilliant of brilliance. The epitome of glory, of the glow, the shine, the richness of this diamond is something special. So the Rebbe takes a look. He turns it around this way, that way. He shrugs his shoulders and he says, Chzenisht. I don't see the greatness. The Rebbe says, in fact, over here in the backyard I have pebbles and stones. And I don't know why you have to pay 30,000 ruble. I can go out and bring these pebbles and they look the same. So he says, what do you mean look? Don't you see what is going on? Look at the shape. Look at the quality. Look at the design. Look at the glow. Look at the glee, at the light. And he takes a look again and he scrutinizes it and he examines it from the top, from the bottom, right, left. He turns it north, south, east, west, up, down. He says, I'm sorry, but ich zenisht. So although he was a chassid, but he was frustrated and annoyed, he says, Rebbe, to understand a diamond of menzayna maven. To understand a diamond, you have to be an expert and you're not an expert. So the Rebbe smiles and he says, Ayid is pile ployim, abim medav zayin ameiven. which means a Jewish soul is pili ployim. It's wonder of wonders, but you have to be an expert. You have to be an expert to see it. He said before, I don't see. You have to know what a soul is. Not everybody could pick up on a soul. This is even the level of soul that is expressed within the body. We're not even talking about the core of the soul. The core of the soul is totally indescribable. You can't be a maven on that even. But even on the other element of the soul, medav zayna maven, you have to be an expert. Okay, now, even when we're discussing the dimension of the soul as a provider of life, as an entity that contains within itself 613 functional powers, as a spiritual body, even that soul itself, if it would come into the brain, it would still be too aloof and too sublime to give life to the body. The Alter Rebbe adds more. Al yidei yislapshusam benefesh achiyunis. What has to happen now is this element of the divine soul, this dimension of the soul as a provider of life now, can't just go into the brain. It has to manifest itself, it has to clothe itself within the biological soul, within the vital soul, within the animal soul, which is also a spiritual soul. Sheyesh la gam kein ramach v'shasa koiches v'chayes halalu. The animating soul also possesses the corresponding 248 and 365 spiritual functional powers and vital forces. So now what happens is, when these 613 spiritual powers enclose themselves within the divine soul, in the 613 spiritual powers of the animal soul, and the animal soul is enclosed in the brain, now the brain can actualize these 613 spiritual powers of the divine soul through their enclosement in the animal soul, and the brain can use it and transmit it to the entire body and generate a living organism. Yeah, this is the Nefesh HaBahamas. Over here he called it Nefesh HaChiyunis, which is a name he gave earlier in Tanya, because here it's not important so much that it's an animal soul. It's important that it's the soul that is responsible for our life current in the body. The biological life force in the physical body comes from the Nefesh HaChiyunis. But in it is enclosed the Nefesh HaLikis, the divine soul. So in the brain, you have a trio. This is what makes life so complex. In the very same brain, you have brain, you have animal soul, and you have divine soul. And all three form one unit. They're tucked into each other and within each other. Neuroscience, neurobiology, particularly in the modern day and age, has explored layers upon layers upon layers of depth existing in the brain. The brain is looks like a little toy. It's a little tiny organ, but it is amazing beyond description. I mean, we don't always realize that in that little brain we have approximately 100 billion nerves. 100 billion nerves. Billion nerve cells. Approximately in the brain. As he will describe soon what goes on. And neuroscience has explored this and explored it in depth and each year and constantly explores new dimensions and new revelations as the organization, the brilliance, the genius, the symmetry, the anatomy of the brain. But here, the Alter Rebbe, who was not only a neuroscientist, but more importantly, a connoisseur of souls. You have connoisseurs of diamonds, and a Rebbe is also a connoisseur of souls, an expert of souls, explores the spiritual force in the brain, which gives rise and life to the anatomy of the brain, and to the 100 billion nerve cells, we call them neurons in the brain. Zog da Alter Rebbe v'hine now. The nerves. The nerves. The gidim. He wants to know which element in the body is the receptacle for the soul. Which element of the physical body is the receptacle for the soul? No, not which part of the body.
DNA.
Huh?
DNA.
The DNA. How do you know?
Personality.
How do you know? But the DNA itself, the code of the DNA, also comes from the soul.
Comes from the soul
also.
No, the code comes from the parents. Comes from the nefesh of the parents.
Yeah, from the nefesh, yeah.
They give a starter nefesh to begin the process.
Yeah. The nefesh of the parents, yeah.
When you feel the right place for the tefillin on the top of the head, that's the place.
Yeah, the mayach, the brain. But he's saying, what in the brain? What in the brain? In Chassidus, it's usually discussed as the blood and the nerves. The blood and the nerves. Okay, let's see. We'll learn another piece. V'hine, now. Alam shalchas kol hatayag minei keiches v'chayis. Mehelem anasham el aguf l'achyesai. Concerning the flow of all of the 613 kinds of functional powers and vital forces, which are drawn from the concealment of the soul to the body to animate it. Aleha amru, concerning this flow, they have said, it has been said, she'ikir mishkan of Asher Asa, shel hamshach zu v'gilui zeh, hu kuloi b'mayichin sheberesh. The principal dwelling place and abode of this flow and this expression is entirely situated in the brain of the head. Who's Amru? He doesn't say who's Amru. So apparently he's referring to our sages. And the Rebbe in his footnotes to Tanya writes Yuma Daf Pehei Amid Aleph. In Yuma Daf Pehei Amid Aleph, there's the famous Mishnah and Gemara there. If a mountain of rubble falls on somebody on Shabbos, and the obligation to dig the rubble, even if you have to desecrate the Shabbos in order to save a life, and the Mishnah discusses what happens if you don't even know if somebody is under there. And what happens even if you know if somebody's there, you don't know if he's dead or he's alive. You don't even know who's there. So the Gemara says, Safik, Safik Sham, Safik Enisham, Safik Chai, Safik Mei, Safik Yisrael, Safik Nachri, Safik Nachri, Mefakhnel of a Sagal, you have to take the shovel and begin digging. And the Gemara says, what happens when you dig and you find a body and it's not moving and it seems dead? So you can't just go away and stop digging. You have to check out the body. So there's an argument, till where do you check? Ad libo, ad chaitme, till the heart, till the nose. The halacha is you have to check the nose. And if there's no sign of breathing, and you can assume for sure that the person is dead, then you can stop digging, because already there's no purpose, unfortunately, to save this life. So you don't have to desecrate the Shabbos for it. So the Gemara discusses there at length that ikir chayuse ba'ape, that the main chayas, the main vitality of the person is in the nose, which is part of the brain. And in fact, the nerves of the nose are a direct extension of the brain. Yes. So perhaps that's what Alter Rebbe means, Aleha Amru. So when they say that the main abode of the soul, of life, is in the brain, he says it's not talking about the core of the soul. No. You can't say the abode of the core of the soul is in the brain. No. It's in the heart as much as in the brain. It's in the toe as much as it's in the brain. What we're talking about is Hamshach Zu V'Gilui Zeh. When we're talking about the flow of the 613 kinds of functional powers and vital forces, which are drawn from concealment. First, they were concealed in the soul. They're not tangible. They're drawn from concealment to revelation. That exists in the brain. That is situated in the brain. In other words, the brain is the home and the seat of the soul as a power plant in which it is compound of all of the various functions and capacities of the body. This dimension of the soul, its life-giving personality, the soul as a spiritual blueprint of the body's life, this blueprint resides in the brain. The essence of the soul is not a blueprint of the body. It's not a spiritual blueprint of the body. You don't have there the whole body in spirituality. That's not what the essence of the soul. But this dimension of the soul, and it is a spiritual model of the body. It has 613 functional spiritual powers. It's basically the spiritual DNA of the body. This lives in the brain. So the brain is that little organ, the Alter Rebbe says, that is the home to the expression and manifestation and actualization of the code containing the 613 general categories of functions and powers. V'lachein, therefore, what's therefore? Since the brain is an abode for this dimension of the soul as a provider of life, the soul as the spiritual blueprint of the entire body, the soul as that force which contains within it the entire life and every element that is going to be given to the body. Because of this, haim, they, what's they? The components of the brain, mekablim tchila, hakoyach v'hachayis harayilahem, they receive first the power and the life force appropriate to them, l'fi mizgam utchunasam, according to their composition and their character. The brain itself receives first the life of the body according to its own composition. Shehein, Chabad, what are the particular functions and powers that are connected to the brain itself? Shehein Chabad, this is the capacity for Chabad, for Chachma Bina Das, the capacity for conception, for creativity, for imagination, that's Chachma. The capacity for reasoning, for analysis, that's Bina. The capacity for application for das, that's also in the brain. V'koyach ha-machshava, as well as the faculty of thought, the power of thought, v'chol ha-shayich l'moichin, and whatever pertains to the brain, all of these receive their life force from the soul first. Which means, since in the brain you have the source of the entire life of the body. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, it receives first the powers that are relative to it, that are connected to it, that are associated with it. What does he mean by first? It's hard to understand what he means by first. It's possible some people interpret the first, he doesn't mean time-wise, he means qualitative. Meaning that the brain receives the highest powers of the soul, the cerebral powers of the soul, the power of reasoning, the power of creativity, of imagination, the intellectual powers of cognition, of analysis, of application. Koyach ha-moichin, Chabad. Where is that power? That's in the brain itself. It's not in the arm, and it's not in the leg, and it's not in the stomach, and it's not even in the spinal cord. It's in the brain itself. Because the brain has the most refined, the brain is the closest organ that is designed in a way that it can serve as the home for the soul. And therefore the brain is made up of such tissue and of such cells and of such components that can express the most spiritual powers of the soul, which is Chachma Bina Das and Koyach Machshava. So the deepest, that's what he means by Tchila, qualitatively, the deepest, the highest expressions of the soul powers is in the brain itself, nowhere else. V'leizabulvad, but not only this. In addition to the fact that the brain itself receives the deepest type of light and power from the soul, which expresses itself in the cerebral powers, more than this. The overall flow of all the streams of vitality to the other organs, gamkin klulo mulubeshes b'meichin shabarosh, is also first included and enclosed in the brain of the head before it is transmitted to all the individual organs. Not only the brain itself is unique in the powers that it receives from the soul, but not only that, the entire stream, all of the life, all of the energy that goes to any part of the body is first included in the brain. We know, as I mentioned before, in the brain you have approximately 100 billion nerve cells, and they transmit and they gather electromechanical signals from the brain to the entire body, and from the body back to the brain. Similar, these nerve cells are similar to the gates and the wires in every single computer. Because in the brain you have the central nervous system, and the central nervous system is responsible for every move, for every experience, for every detail, for every single occurrence in the entire body. There's nothing that happens in any part of the body and in any organ of the body, not in the inner organs and not in the outer organs, that is not transmitted from the brain. The brain transmits through the nerves the proper signals, and the central nervous system extends to the entire body, connecting to all of the other nervous systems, the autonomic nervous system, the periphery nervous system, and all of the other nervous systems from the central nervous system, which is in the brain and in the spinal cord. And every single thing has to be transmitted from the brain. It has signals, it goes to the body, and it comes back to the brain from the rest of the body through the nerve cells. And Alter Rebbe adds even more, v'sham, and in the brain, hu ikre v'shar shoshal amshachazu. In the brain you have the core and the source of the flow to the entire body. In the sense that there you have the expression of the light and the vitality of the entire soul. Since in the brain you have the expression of the entire soul, of all of the 613 elements, so therefore there, every signal and every function of the entire body, its source, its core, its primary foundation is in the brain. Over there is the main experience. The main experience of sight, he says, the ikra v'sharsh of the experience of sight is in the brain, in the optic nerves. The main experience of hearing is in the auditory nerves. Umisham, and from there, from the brain, mispashetes ha'ada l'shar kol eivarim, a radiance flows to all of the other organs, umakabel kol echad, and each of the organs receives the functional power and the vital force which is appropriate to it, according to its composition and character. And the power of sight is revealed in the eye. And the power of hearing is in the ear, and so on. I mean, this has such far-reaching implications. Somebody even mentioned last week what has been recently discussed a lot in neuroscience and neurobiology, a concept called the ghost image.
Yeah. It's not so recent. I've seen it in old.
I mean, years ago, but I mean recent times. What's the ghost image? Could be a person who, unfortunately, heaven forbid, lost an arm. They don't have an arm. They feel pain in the arm. They feel pain in an arm, but they don't have an arm.
Phantom pain.
Yeah. What is that? Yeah. Because after the arm has been used for a while, it creates a counterpart chamber in the brain. And even when they lost the physical arm, but the brain arm they didn't lose. So they feel pain, not in the brain. They feel pain in the arm, and they don't have an arm. And look in the words of Tanya, v'shamu ikra v'shar shalom shachazu. Every experience in every organ of the body, every function, every experience. In neuroscience, they discuss it after the person has an arm and he uses it or she uses it, it creates the parallel model in the brain. And they have to go to therapy to remove the arm in the brain so they should stop feeling the pain. And it's an intense level of therapy. Here, Dr. Rebbe is talking about before even they use the arm, before it begins in the brain. Because the arm begins in the soul. And the movement of an arm, the concept of an arm begins in the soul, and the concept of movement of an arm begins in the soul. And then it is enclosed in a biological soul. Not contradicted, enhances. The arm is enclosed in a biological soul, which also has a spiritual arm. And then it goes into the brain, and the brain decodes it. And the brain experiences the source of the experience of this particular organ. And then a ray of it is actually transmitted through the nerves to that particular organ, and the particular function is carried out there. And it governs it, and it animates it, and it gives it its function, and it gives it its orders, and it gives it its signals, and it gives it its life force. And then the sensation and whatever happens comes back to the brain through the nerves. Yeah. Not a contradiction at all. Why is this on the contrary? It's interesting now to Rebbe's words. V'shamu ikne v'sharsha shalom shachazum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The fact that he uses it, it further develops the connection with the brain. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Which word are you translating?
When you say biological soul?
I mean the soul, I meant two things. You could call the nefesh achiyunis a biological soul, I don't know if you mean that. Or you mean the soul as a biological entity, as a provider of life for the body. The soul as a provider of life for the body. A provider of life and of personality for the body. Life and personality. The body is not only about personality. Some things are done by different types of personalities, like breathing. It doesn't have to do with personality. Or pumping the blood doesn't have to do with personality. In Kabbalistic terms, you have the 10 powers of the soul. Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Word, Teferes, that constitutes the personality of the body. And then you have the functional powers, which are divided into 613 components. Personality is divided into 10 components, and the functional powers are divided into 613. And they're also connected to each other, but that's Chachma Bina Das is in the brain, Chesed is connected to the right arm, Gvura to the left arm, and Tiferes to the torso, Netzach to the right thigh, Hai to the left thigh, Yisayd to the procreative organs, and Malchus either to the mouth or to the feminine counterpart. Two different systems. Yeah.
Counting the
10 spheres. Yeah. I'm saying sometimes Malchus is discussed as the feminine counterpart, sometimes it's discussed as the mouthpiece. Yes?
What we have to say that all this is rooted in the essence.
He doesn't say. That's the whole theme of the chapter is trying to explain that the soul is a metaphor for Hashem. When you talk about the essence of Hashem, you can't say that the essence of Hashem is in the Holy of Holies, in Yerushalayim, in the Holy Temple, more than it is on 16th Avenue in Borough Park. Well, actually, some of us think that 16th Avenue in Borough Park is the Holy of Holies.
It's closer to it than a lot of other places.
You can't say the essence is in a certain place, in the Holy of Holies, even in the Beis HaMikdash, more than it is on the Brooklyn Bridge.
It's dispersed. Is that what you're saying?
No, it totally transcends any type of definition. You have to know what I mean. That's similar to that's the essence of the soul is a metaphor for that. You talk about the dwelling of the Shekhinah in certain places. That's reflected in the fact that the life-providing dimension of the soul is in the brain more than in anything else. Let's just finish a few lines here. I want to finish already. Huh? Kachi Kachim, the Holy of Holies is the brain. We'll see in the next chapter. The Holy of Holies is the brain. The Tzaddik is also the brain of the Jewish people. You have a brain in place and you have a brain in people. And that's now, we'll understand better in chapter 2. In chapter 2 he discusses that the great Torah giants, the Tzaddikim of generations, are the brain of the generation. And the brain, essentially, this also explains why a Rebbe, a Tzaddik, could feel the pain of every single Jew in the entire world. And he can't sleep because of that pain. We know, we feel our own pain, whether physical pain or mental pain. Throughout the generations, he had the great Tzaddikim, the Rebbes, who, if there was sometimes one Jew in a corner of the world who was experiencing agony, whether physical agony or spiritual agony, it affected them, and it affected them to the extent that they couldn't sleep, and they did things to help that Jew. They turned over a whole world to help that Jew. Because just as you have a brain in the physical structure, you also have the Jewish people constitute one structure, and you have a brain of that structure. And that brain senses every single part of the body, and it sometimes senses that part of the body more than the part of the body senses itself. That's the chiddush. Oh, the Mittel Rebbe. He showed him that his hand was... Yeah, story of the Mittel Rebbe, that his hand was infected. There's a young man who came in and was talking to him about different ugly sins that he has performed in his life, connected with youthfulness. And he showed that his skin was deeply infected. And he said, "This is from deine chattes norden." He says, "From your sins, this is how my body was affected." Because the first thing that's affected is the brain. The brain experiences the grunt of the pain. The brain experiences the sensation. And this is true about every, the function of the brain. Right now I'm speaking. You're listening to me. I mean, we don't even imagine how the brain works. I mean, how efficient it is. What happens is, right now, the voice that is coming from my mouth is creating a disruption in your outer ear. We call it vibrations. And those vibrations go in through the outer ear and they're processed through another element, and then a very, very complex journey. These vibrations make a very complex journey through different elements of the ear. Finally, through a very complex and nuanced journey, these vibrations are processed and they create nerve impulses. And these nerve impulses travel till the auditory nerves, and these auditory nerves enter into the cortex of the brain. So this impulse now travels to the brain, and it's there that the vibration is recognized and it's perceived as a sound. So you hear now a sound and you perceive as a word. It's not your ear. Your ear hears noise, disruptions. It generates now a flow, and this flow ultimately generates an impulse, and it comes to the brain. The brain says, "Ah, it's a sound." And how is this happening? It's happening within the fraction of a second. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining here how it works with the soul, beginning with the soul. Through the Nefesh HaChiyunis, he said that, no? Yeah. He says here that it encloses itself in the Nefesh HaChiyunis. I don't know. You didn't see? He says it clearly. Okay, I just want to finish a few lines just to finish the sentence. And he adds, all functional powers flow from the brain. It's hard to understand. At first glance, there seems to be redundancy here. What is the Alter Rebbe now saying? Didn't he just say that? I mean, a whole time. First he says, in the brain you have the indwelling of the soul's personality as a life provider, and then he goes on, v'loizubulvad, v'shamu ikra. Now again, v'chol ha'keiches mispashtim me'amayach. I mean, it seems redundant at first glance. The saintly masters of Chabad write in their discourses that in these apparent redundancies, the Alter Rebbe is actually unraveling different layers and functions of the brain. The brain, I mentioned to you, is a mysterious organ. We still don't know what it is. I mean, it's unbelievable. And with the Alter Rebbe is not just repeating himself. He's discussing different elements in the brain. There's the brain as the seat of the soul, and the soul as a light, as the soul as a provider of life. There is the brain as a place where already the 613 organs are manifest in some way. There is the brain as the source of the signals that are then transmitted to the entire body and different elements. In any case, all the functional powers flow from the brain as is known. Here he says, that's known. Kisham. He's adding something apparently. That all the functional powers is essentially a flow from the brain. Kishamu ikir mishkin anashama kula b'chinas gili. Because there in the brain is located the principal dwelling place of the entire soul in a revealed form. There in the brain, the overall life force which flows from the soul is revealed. It is the individual faculties of the overall life force that would shine forth and radiate from there, from the brain to all the organs of the body. The overall life force is expressed and manifest in the brain. And from the overall life force, individual faculties shine to all of the organs. And he gives an example. Similar to the light that radiates and shines from the sun into in the innermost of rooms. So he experiences, he compares the soul as it's in the brain to the sun, to the ball of the sun, to the luminary, the luminescent sphere that we call the sun. From the sphere that we define as the sun, we know there extends rays to the entire earth, and this ray could travel and enter into your private bedroom in your apartment. Does the sun come into your bedroom? The sun doesn't come into your bedroom. But a ray of light that comes originally from the sun and is a direct extension of the sun enters L'chadri Chadarim. And he says this is how we have to understand the relationship of the brain and the rest of the body. The soul in the brain is compared to the sun itself. There you have the brain has the sun. Rays and light, a radiance of the sun now extends into the all of the various organs and limbs of the body. It extends into the entire organism of the human being. Through the various nerves, it extends into the toe, and into the nail, into the leg, whatever it is, into the stomach, every single part of the body. It's like the ray of the light that comes into Chadri Chadarim. But where do you have the sun itself? The sun itself you have in the brain. And Alter Rebbe will continue using this as a metaphor to understand the relationship of the soul of the world to the world, which means the relationship of Hashem to the entire world. Have a good night and a wonderful week. Yes.
Yeah, something I
want to say
clearly. The purpose of the soul itself is something much more than a life given to the body. There's one issue I have with it. That is the soul, the Atila, I thought was created in order to give life to the body.
No.
because it says that he created the entire world to have a malchus, to have a kingdom of people who serve him. So the whole essence, purpose of everything created was, so everything was designed around the ultimate goal of creation. So if everything was designed around the ultimate goal, then its whole existence is it only becomes meaningful by the fulfillment of that ultimate goal.
About Hashem, you don't say that.
No, not about Hashem.
No.
Yeah,
so the soul apparently is a reflection of that. The soul apparently is a reflection of that.
You're talking about the soul as its...
He's talking about the Nefesh HaLukis here.
Right. You're talking about as its Achel of the Kavimah.
Apparently, yeah.
As it's rooted in divinity.
He says it's indivisible. I mean, think. He says it's indivisible. It's undefined, not even spiritually defined. That's what he says, yeah.
I think that...
That means Chachma...
The Big Bang is also that way.
That means Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura. That's not the soul. That has a mezug, yeah.
Yeah, but I can say that the universe before the Big Bang...
Yes.
...is also an undefined entity, but yet it's a Nivra.
I don't know what you mean, undefined.
Look at the way the singularity of the Big Bang is looked at in cosmology. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's defined in these terms, and it's as a pashut. You know, all time space is all wrapped up in one pashut essence.
That's a good point.
And it's still a nivra.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The
neshama is also a nivra.
So
the neshama is a nivra.
But all nivraim were created and tailor made for the ultimate goal.
It's a created being. The soul is a created being. That's true. That's why Dr. Rebbe says Chelik.
Right.
Chelik, he wants to say that it's a created being.
So all created beings were made for their ultimate goal. For their ultimate bottom line goal. So when you say that the soul is something more than being than being something give life to the body,
You could say that its purpose is to give life to the body, but that's not what it is.
Okay.
He's giving an example.
Okay.
You could say the purpose of the table is, the purpose you created the table,
right.
Why did you create the table? To learn on the table.
Right, true.
But it doesn't mean that the very composition and core of the table is learning.
Got it. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Got it.
So basically here within the brain you have three elements he talks about. In the brain you have this, the brain is the seat of the very soul. The dimension of the soul as a provider of life is in the brain, a source for the 613 functional powers, a spiritual blueprint of the body. That's one element. Furthermore, in the brain you already have the beginning of the actualization of these 613 functional powers. You have the experience of vision in the brain, the experience of sight in the brain. That's what Alter Rebbe adds. It's not only you have the spiritual soul, which contains 613 spiritual powers in the brain, and the brain transmits it to the body. In the brain, you already have in the physical brain a beginning of the actualization of these 613 elements. Yeah. And a third element he discusses is that because of this, the brain has unique functions and powers in and of itself. Power of reasoning, the power of analysis, the power of thought, Chacham bin Adas. It's three dimensions of the brain that doesn't exist in the rest of the body. I mean, I think that's how it can be summarized. Yes, we'll have a mind if yes.
Is there a chain of command?
Of course.
Okay. Is that chain of command also in the spiritual world?
Of course.
Is it all connected?
Of course. Now Mashiach could come in. Yeah. Big tzimtzum. Yeah, it has to be a tzimtzum, yeah. It's a good shaila. The Pedic test states the Nefesh HaBamis is in Lev. And does act as in Mayach. Tachzich as the Rebbe shaped of them tzarech here. You hear what he's asking? Perik test, it says the Nefesh HaBamis is in the heart. in the left ventricle. Yeah? Here he says the nefesh alikis and clothes itself in the nefesh achinyonis in the brain. I don't know the answer to this. He says only the nefesh alikis is in the brain in periktas. I don't know the answer. Shalom aleichem. Welcome back. Welcome back. Shalom aleichem.
Nice. Same time, same place. Every
yeah. 8:30 on Sunday. What is your name?
Orin.
Orin, what is your last name?
Kimian.
Kimian? Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Shalom Aleichem. Oh. On the internet. I don't know which line. Yeah. Yeah. What is your name? Belcher. So you're here for a visit?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Lovely. Okay. So bring it back to Berkeley.
Why say that? Leave the essence by itself. Let it be. You'll let it be like you don't understand. It's very. It's one. Because once you say it's in there, it's Be'elam. It's not really, but it's really still there. In fact, when you say it's one, it's Be'elam. There's another part of it, Be'elam. It's not one. Why say it's essence? Say it's whatever. It's whatever it is. It's pashtus. Why say it's rooted in the event veil? That's what I want to use.
Why does he say that the Ramach, the Taryak Kaiches of the Neshama are Klulim Bimahusav Atzmus? It's a good question. I think the pshat is that it's mashma a little bit, that it's mitzad muhusavat smusa that it has these tariyakaychus. What does that mean? Since muhusavat smusa doesn't have a particular gedder, it doesn't have a particular definition, it doesn't have a particular capacity, it can't be described as having a power of sight or power, it's indivisible, it's mufshit, because of its hafshata, because of it being abstract and removed from every definition, therefore, it's not that, it includes also the capacity to give life to a body. Because of that. But within the essence, that capacity is totally concealed. Because it doesn't have any actualization. It doesn't have any definition. It's just part of its endless capacity. Al derech. So you'll say that Hashem's can, his koyach is not only infinity, because of his infinity, he also has a power of finiteness. It could be that pshat, but I'm not sure. Could be that pshat. So what happens now? When the nefesh achiyunis, which is divisible and has 613 parts, when the neshama gets into the nefesh achiyunis picks up on this capacity. Now, when the brain gets in touch with the nefesh achiyunis, the brain was made in such a fashion, Hashem creates the cell nerves and the tissue and the anatomy of the brain in such a fashion that it has the capacity to actualize this hidden code of the soul, to actualize these 613 functional powers of the soul. And once the brain does that, life begins. I believe that's the pshat here. Okay, well, daven, we have a minion. Could you daven for the Ahmed?
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.